This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Our next guest speaker is Imam Karim Abu Zayd, and his topic will be on the wasiyah of a lifetime. So please put your phones away, pay close attention, inshallah. Tafadhal, Shaykh.
Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وبارك على سيدنا محمدٍ في الأولين اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وبارك على سيدنا محمدٍ في الآخرين اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وبارك على سيدنا محمدٍ في الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. I'm looking around and I'm seeing all type of young brothers. I didn't stare at the sisters, but I'm assuming they are young too. And if you notice, my subject is about al-wasiyyah. You know, the will which people leave before they die. So I hope, inshallah, that you at least take that subject to your parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you all long life with iman. Ya Rabb al-Alameen. Always, long life has to be combined with Iman. Because if it is like Sheikh Abdul Rahman just mentioned, if the life is emptied from Iman, it's useless. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, شَرُّ النَّاسِ مَنْ طَالَ عُمُرُهُ وَسَاءَ عَمَلُهُ. The worst of mankind are those who live long life without good amal, good iman, good acts of worship. Yani. Inshallah, I hope my topic, they chose that topic for me and I'm going to address it. I'm not going to run away from it. But inshallah, hopefully it will be of interest to you. This is number one. And maybe you can educate your families about it, inshallah. Let me begin by saying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in authentic hadith fi sunan, sunan Abi Dawood and others, wa musnad Ahmad as well, he actually asked us to speak about death. He said, أكثروا ذكرى هازم اللذات الموت. Mention a lot the destroyer of all pleasures, and he named it to be death. And in fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam legislated certain acts for us, which if we do, first of all, we get rewarded, and at the same time, the spirit behind the act is actually to be reminded with death. For example, he says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, كنت قد نهيتكم عن زيارة القبور ألا فزوروها فإنها تذكركم بالموت. لفظ واللفظ الآخر تذكركم بالآخرة. I previously have banned you from visiting the graves. Now go ahead and visit the graves because it will remind you living with death. والحديث الآخر زوروا المريض واتبعوا الجنائز فإنها تذكركم بالموت. Follow the janazah processions and visit the sick. It will remind you with death. One of the actually means to remember death is الوصية. Imagine the head of the family, the father, inviting his wife and his kids. And he addresses the fact that, listen guys, I'm getting old and I'm about to leave this life and I want to make sure that I'm settling everything before I go. In some cultures, by the way, especially my culture, I come from Egypt, immediately they're going to shun him away, shun him off. ما تقولش كده يا أبو محمد, ما تقولش كده, don't speak. ربنا يطول عمرك يا أخويا, may Allah give you long life, my. And they would stop the father from further addressing such a serious issue like this. Why not? Why not talk about death? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam given us some signs. He said, hadith akhrajahu al-imam al-tirmidhi min hadith Abi Huraira, a'maru ummati bayna al-sittin wa-sab'een. The lifespan of the majority of my ummah between 60 and 70 years old. So if you're approaching the age 60, that means you're getting there. For sure, people, there are people who die before and people who actually get to live longer. But the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about the overall number of his followers, the average. Yani. So why not? Why not address it? And subhanallah, my brothers and sisters in Islam, warad fil hadith, there is one type of death which will increase towards the end of time. It's called mawtul faj'ah, the sudden death. Someone wakes up in the morning, he has no signs of dying whatsoever. He is healthy, he is going about to do his work, and subhanallah, he doesn't come back home. And look how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described this death. You know what he said? مَوْتُ الْفَجْأَةِ أَخْذَةُ أَسِفِ. The sudden death is the taking of a sorrowful man or woman. Why? Because the person has no chance to settle anything. Imagine you're going about your life, you're building up all these things for tomorrow and after tomorrow, and you're taken out of life. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about those who are asking for the hour, when it comes, لا يستطيعون توصية ولا إلى أهلهم يرجعون. They cannot leave a will, nor they can go back to their family to tell them, listen, I owe that money. Why not? Why not? That we should actually engage in this act. طيب, do we have يعني, a premise in the religion for al-wasiyya, for the Islamic will? Yes. Surah al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 180. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. And when we hear كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ, it means it's mandatory. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. It is mandated upon you. إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ. When you're about to die, or there are some signs of death, and we said towards the end of time, you know, these signs could not be granted because we have the sudden death, so you should be ready, you should actually engage in it. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ إِن تَرَكَ خَيْرًا. If he is to leave خَيْر. خَيْر here means wealth. كلمة خَيْر هنا wealth, money. إن ترك خيرا الوصية. He must leave وصية للوالدين والأقربين بالمعروف حقا على المتقين. To the parents and those who are close in kins, and it is a duty upon the pious and the righteous. طبعا علماء التفسير, ابن كثير actually compiled this. ورد هذا في ابن كثير. جمهور المفسرين, the majority of the jurists, على أن هذه الآية نسخت, that this verse was abrogated. How it was abrogated? The verses 11 and 12 in chapter 4, سورة النساء, اللي هي آيات الميراث, the verses of the inheritance. يوصيكم الله في أولادكم للذكر مثل حظ الأنثيين فإن كن نساء فوق اثنتين. فالآيات, there are two verses, and this is a miracle يا إخوة. I know this for a fact, that there was a professor in the University of Maryland who teaches inheritance, the law of inheritance, according to the man-made law, you know, the civil law of America. So subhanallah, one Muslim student One day he said to him, all what you're teaching us was summed up in two verses in the Quran. You know, I said, bring them to me. So the following day he brought him Surah An-Nisa, chapter, the women, chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And he put it in his desk. The following day he said, this is a miracle. And he actually accepted Islam because of this. Because of the way it's designed, the way it's, you know, he's teaching volumes of information on this subject. And imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sums this up in two verses in the Quran. They are two lengthy, long verses, yes, but mashallah, two pages basically, if you want to come up with it. Fashahid, brothers and sisters in Islam, that this verse which command you to distribute your wealth before you die according to an Islamic will that you write was abrogated, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already decided who gets what. The boy gets that, the girl gets that, the wife gets that, if she has children, if you have children. So it's done, you don't have to do anything about it. But subhanallah, very interesting, those two verses which talks about the distribution of wealth in Islam after your death, for those who will inherit you, are followed by two warnings. Tilka hududullah. These are the boundaries of Allah, the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set. So be mindful, do not violate this. So here is something that happens normally. A father ends up with 3-4 children. And he ends up loving one of the kids more than the others. Yani, subhanallah, you don't control your heart. We as parents sometimes have more affection for one or two child than the others, for one reason or another. That's, you see, that love, you have no control over it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places it in your heart. But what matters is, do not allow that extra love or that excessive love that you have for one of the kids to make you wrong the other children. And one of them is inheritance. A very famous thing that a father, because he loves one of the kids more than the other, then he would write a will saying, this kid gets all my wealth. But the other one, no, they don't. That's haram. That is haram. You tell your parents this is haram. You cannot do this. And we have actually a story in the Sunnah, Hadith al-Nu'man ibn Bashir, and Hadith al-Bukhari. One day, the father of al-Nu'man, the Sahabi who narrated al-halal bayin wal-haram bayin, that hadith that you hear all the time, halal is clear and haram is clear, and indeed in the heart, in the body, there is a limb called the heart, it is the king of that hadith. So Bashir brought al-Nu'man one day to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. He said, O Messenger of Allah, إِنِّي نَحَلْتُ لِوَلَدِي هَذَا نُحْلًا. I have decided to give him more than his other brothers from my inheritance. And I would like you to become a witness on this, O Messenger of Allah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, أَتَوَدُّ أَن يَكُونُ لَكَ فِي الْبِرِّ سَوَاءً. Wouldn't you like your children to be fair in loving you equally? Wouldn't you like that? Then you should be fair in the distribution of the wealth after you die amongst them. Idhab, go and find another witness to bear witness on this. فَإِنِّي لَا أَشْهَدُ عَلَى زُورٍ. I do not bear witness on falsehood. This is falsehood. The point taken here that we have to stick to the law of inheritance in Islam, and we have to make sure that we do not violate this. So far the understanding is clear that alhamdulillah, you don't have to do anything about your wealth because you already have Quran and Sunnah that dictates how you distribute your wealth, or how your wealth will get distributed after you. So what I'm talking about, why I'm nagging here, what is the issue? It seems like there is no issue. There is one issue. حديث أخرجه البخاري ومسلم حديث عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما. Look at this. لا يحق لامرئ مسلم له ما يوصي فيه أن يبيت ليلة one wording ليلتين another wording ثلاث ليال إلا ووصيته مكتوبة عنده. It is not permissible, it is haram for a believer, for a Muslim who has something that he will leave behind, that he would let one night, two nights, three nights go by without having his will written in what, there is a wording out of Al-Bukhari or Muslim under his pillow, that reachable, that people can find it. It's not hidden someplace. It's not mysterious. It's available. For the scholars, and actually if you read that hadith, that Abdullah ibn Umar himself did not allow three nights to go by until he started having his will under his pillow. So they said, how do we understand that? The scholars came up with seven conditions. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, seven cases where you may have to do this. You know what? The first case scenario is our case. Muslims who are living in a non-Muslim country where the law of Islam is not being established. Then you must have a will. If you die, guess what? And the state takes over the distribution of your wealth, they're going to do it according to the man-made law. Now, you have a constitutional right, so in America, living in America, that you could override that, but with a legitimized or notarized official Islamic will that you leave behind you. And that is where this hadith can apply. The hadith can apply right here. This is one scenario. Living in a non-Muslim country where the distribution of inheritance is not done in accordance with the Islamic law, the Sharia of Islam, rather, it is conducted in the basis of the civil law of the land, which is not Islamic to begin with, because we are a minority group. But now, if you're going to do this, does this give you the premise to go back again and simply violate the law of distribution of inheritance after you? No. You just write a simple statement. I am so and so. I am on my complete sound mental health, whatever it is. I'm not under the influence of hallucination, drugs. I am a Muslim. And I would like my inheritance to be distributed in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah. And I want that institution, you can name an institution, I want that sheikh to be in charge of the distribution of my wealth. You can say that. So you have not gone into the area of violating who gets what, because Allah decided that already. A man gets twice of how, you cannot change that. This is made already, this is done. But you're just advising the people after you that you have to go back to the Quran and Sunnah in order to do this. Another scenario which is very interesting, the scenario of having debts. We all have debts. And sometimes we have debts in the basis of a phone call. It's not documented. It is not documented, it's not written. You don't have a piece of document. You could actually have given people money. Loan people money. Your family deserve to receive these funds after you, because that's their money if they are to inherit you, if you don't pardon that person. For debts that are not documented, you also have to write a will regarding this. ولذلك, subhanallah, look at the two verses which I refer to, 11 and 12 in Surah An-Nisa. Always after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions who gets what, then comes in the line, مِن بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُوصَى وَيُوصِي both of them were mentioned, يوصي بها أودين, after a will is written. So you actually distribute this amongst the heirs of the person, the people, his family, his offspring, whoever inherit him. But after you check his will, see if he wrote that he owes money to certain people. Why, ya ikhwa, that is so important, brothers and sisters in Islam. Be mindful of this. Remember this. الشهيد يحجب من دخول الجنة بدينه. Imagine, we believe as Muslims that the martyr, the one who dies in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gets basically moved from this world to the hereafter, with no transitional stages in between, no grave, no barzakh, right away. Imagine, the martyr will be banned from entering Jannah because of the debt. Even if you manage to cheat people out of it, it's still out there. You have to settle it. And why in the world would you leave the money to your children when you're banned from entering Jannah after you die? Especially, ya ikhwa, if the debt, that's the third scenario, the debt of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like 1 year, you did not pay zakatul mal. You owe that zakatul mal on your wealth. You should write down, I owe $10,000, $5,000, $1,000, $200, $5 in zakatul mal. I did not pay it. Or what about the scenario that you became eligible physically, financially, to perform hajj? And you kept slacking. You kept saying next year, next year, next year. You know, the moment that you became eligible, meaning you had the financials, you had the money, and you did not go, Hajj became mandatory upon you and you owe it. So you should write a will saying that, listen, I did not perform Hajj. Please send somebody to perform Hajj on my behalf. I became eligible at one stage in my life and I did not do it. I was hoping that I would live longer. This happens. A lot of people go through this. I know someone personally. Wallahi, ikhwa, he used to be my neighbor in Egypt. Wallahi, every time I see his son, I remind, your father became eligible to perform Hajj. And he left you a lot of money. Why didn't you go perform Hajj on his behalf? Or send somebody, give somebody $1,000 or something. He says, Sheikh, you know, we don't have a lot of money. And he has a lot of money. He inherited a lot of money. So his father died owing Hajj. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the famous hadith, he said to the female companion, وَدَيْنُ اللَّهِ أَحَقُّ أَن يُقْضَى. Yani, the debt that you owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of taking care of it بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. So this is scenario number three, where the Islamic will, even though we understand that Islam has taken care of the distribution of your wealth, but yet, subhanAllah, these are scenarios where writing an Islamic will becomes mandatory upon you. Number four, that's another scenario. In some cultures, and again, I go back to the Egyptian culture, and I'm sorry, that's the one that I was brought up with. You know, women do not inherit. Seriously. After the father dies, the brothers, she's married, she has a husband, and we paid for her marriage already. She doesn't get nothing. She already got her inheritance. And هذا ظلم. This is ظلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verses in Surah An-Nisa mentioned that لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ وَلِلْنِسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ مِمَّا قَلَّ مِنْهُ أَوْ كَثُرُ نَصِيبًا مَفْرُوضًا. Men are to inherit from that which the parents and the offkins leave of wealth. Women has a share as well, whether it is much or little. Now, when you write a will after you, brothers and sisters in Islam, if your children, and this happens a lot in our cultures, that the old son would dictate who gets what. He has access to the money. Huh? And he would, if he is not a righteous person, if he is not someone who fears Allah, he's going to eat off the share of the girls, the share of the brothers sometimes. So now you being the owner of this wealth, huh? Before you die, you wrote a will. Then you freed yourself from the injustices which may be committed after your death. You come out of it, certainly. Of course, ya ikhwa, brothers and sisters in Islam, the whole thing doesn't have to do with wealth. What about religious rites, like how you should be buried? And subhanallah, there is hadith out there, المَيِّت يُعَذَّبُ بِبُكَاءِ أَهْلِهِ عَلَيْهِ. Imagine this. Hear this hadith. This is authentic for Bukhari. Huh? Look at this now. The deceased will get punished because of the wailing of people after him. The people who wail and cry in a jahiliyyah way after him. شوف الإمام البخاري, when he wanted to label الترجمة, يعني يترجم لهذا الباب, when he wanted to give a title to this hadith, he said, إذا كان النوح من سنته, if he advised them to do that, or he knows that his wife, his kids will do this, and he did not leave a will banning them from doing this, forbidding them from doing that. So imagine the deceased will get punished if one of his family members would wail, tear the cloth, do these jahiliyyah practices, which each culture has its own. Now, if you write a will stating that, listen, I do not give permission to anyone to wail, to speak ignorantly after I die, I only condone the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is grieving. Grieving is fine, tearing is fine, shedding tears is fine, but speaking in an ignorant way, when you write your will, certainly you free yourself from all of this, brothers and sisters in Islam. Also, letting people know that do not, you know, do these bid'ah, innovations that you do. Every culture now has its own practices after the death of a family member. They bring people reciting Quran, and they bring people to do this and that. You say, only I approve of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you name somebody who can take care of that, this would be great. Here is scenario number 6. I said, where writing the will helps a lot. Having children. If you have children, are you sure who's going to take care of these children after you? If you are to die today, who will take care of these children? So you should actually designate a family member that you, whom you trust his deen. Because these children, the state may throw them at the hands of a family member who doesn't know anything about the deen, who actually doesn't respect Islam, who doesn't believe in Islamic education, who doesn't believe that kids have to be brought up and educated in their deen. And now he's going to end up to bring up your children as atheists or as non-Muslims or whatever it is. Especially some of us living in the United States end up with relatives that, you know, may have left Islam or may have, you know, or maybe contemplating about leaving Islam, or they are not practicing Muslims, to say the least. When you write a will, brothers and sisters in Islam, you designate a certain family member whom you trust, and you trust his or her deen, so that they can take care of your children after you. The last scenario, which is the most important of them all, even though the Sharia of Islam has identified, you know, who gets what from your inheritance, but subhanallah, the Sharia also giving you third of your wealth. Third of your wealth, where you can actually take out of the hands of your heirs, those who are to inherit you, and give it in charity. What is the basis on this, ya ikhwa? The story of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiallahu anhu, when he became extremely ill, early in his life, to the extent that everybody assumed that he will die. And at this stage, he only had one daughter. فهي said, يا رسول الله, يعني this girl is going to get all this money. يعني should I just give it out in charity so I can benefit myself? I'll leave her with a little bit. But I really want to benefit myself. الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم, so he kept going back and forth with رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The divine settlement came. الثلث والثلث كثير. You can give وصية in third of your inheritance and it's too much too. And if you can do less than the third, this is a lot better. Now, you can actually take that money and give it to people who are not named under the law of inheritance. And here is a very interesting scenario that most of us may not know. If you happen to have 5-6 kids during your lifetime as a father, let's talk about me. Let's say that I have 7 children. And all, I'm a grandfather of all of them now. And one of these kids passed away. One of my children passed away. The grandchildren cannot inherit of the son who passed away. They will not inherit. Only the immediate sons will inherit according to the law of inheritance. Now you can use that will to designate some money for them. So you can use that. Some people, the relatives, who are not named under the law of inheritance, you can actually use that third to give them something because they are not part of the law of inheritance in Islam. But above all, actually to benefit yourself. يعني الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم, imagine this, one day he asked his companions, أَيُّكُمْ مَالُ وَارِثِهِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ مَالِهِ. Which wealth do you like most? Your money or the money that you leave behind for people to inherit you? قالوا يا رسول الله, they said, O Messenger of Allah, we all love our own wealth. He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, your own wealth is what you spend in the cause of Allah to benefit you. But the wealth that you leave behind is the wealth that your children are going to get. So why not take advantage of the third, brothers and sisters in Islam, and write a will. Let's put this in a masjid. Let's help build a school with the third, especially if you have, inshallah. How long do I still have? 8 minutes. Subhanallah, brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen certain people in this dunya, and he deprived them from that in lieu of they convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the messengers and the prophets. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warad fil hadith, nahnu ma'ashirul anbiya, we are prophets, la nuwarithu dinaran wala dirhama, what we leave behind is not in gold or silver. But what we leave behind is knowledge, is the deen, our teachings. Well, qissa al-mashhura, the famous story of Abi Huraira, when he actually went to the marketplace in Medina and he said, you guys are selling and buying here. Meanwhile, the inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being distributed in the masjid. So every salesperson rushed to the masjid thinking that this is actually money, business transactions, and money is being given out. So they came back to him and said, haven't you seen people sitting and teaching the deen? That is the inheritance of the prophets. And this is, subhanAllah, yani one of the most amazing things. So imagine people who have given their lives to this deen, to the da'wah. They do not leave wealth behind them. Whatever they leave is actually to be taken to Baytul Mal, to the treasury of the Muslims. It goes back to the Muslim ummah. They do not leave anything for their children. So what would you think they will leave of a will at the bed of death? Subhanallah, we see Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ, they will leave a will about La ilaha illallah. يا بني إن الله اصطفى لكم الدين فلا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. For the sake of time, the oldest will, we have an authentic transmitted account to, is the will which Prophet Nuh alayhi salam left for his children. In one wording for his son, another wording for his children. Imam Ahmad compiled it, Sheikh Al-Albani authenticated the hadith. Let me just share it with you. لما حضرت نوحا الوفاة, when Nuh عليه السلام was about to die, نادى على ابنيه, وفي لفظ على ابنه, he called upon his two sons, another wording his son, فقال يا بني, he said, my son, إني قاص, قاصر, two different wordings, إني قاص عليك الوصية, I want to leave my will to you. أوصيك باثنتين أو أوصيكم باثنتين وأنهاكم عن اثنتين. Make sure that you do two things and you stay away from two things. This is the wasiyah of Nuh. What would you think his wasiyah will be? Someone who spent 950 years just in the field of da'wah, calling people to tawheed, just calling people to la ilaha illallah. The scholars, ya ikhwa, they say Nuh did not leave la ilaha illallah because the people did not accept it. Because initially, if they accept la ilaha illallah, then we can talk about the rest. La ilaha illallah all the time. Imagine the first thing. Usikum bi la ilaha illallah. Imagine this. And this is the type, even though we're not prophets and messengers, even though we write wills like the one I described, but our will should also include this. You know, the words of the deceased have some weight and value in our lives. My father, before he died, he wrote that. You know, people are going to remember that. My mother, before she died, she wrote that. Your daughter is going to remember that. She wrote to me, أُوصِيكِ بِلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Don't let la ilaha illallah go. Don't let your Islam go. Do not. نوح عليه السلام, فَلَوْ أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ والأرضين, لو أن السماوات السبع والأرضين السبع وضعنا في كفة ولا إله إلا الله في كفة لمالت بهن لا إله إلا الله. This is how valuable لا إله إلا الله is. If you place the seven heavens and the seven earth in one pan of the scale and لا إله إلا الله in the other pan of the scale, لا إله إلا الله will outweigh the creation of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. The first thing that Nuh, that you should leave behind you, la ilaha illallah. طيب, subhanallah, Nuh also left the second thing which will give you rizq. وَأُوصِيكُمْ, and I advise you, I command you to utter a lot, to say subhanallah wa bihamdih, subhanallah al-azim. أُوصِيكُمْ بِسُبْحَانَ wa bihamdih, subhanallah al-azim, فَهِيَ صَلَوَاتُ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ. This is how the creations of Allah pray to Allah. ورد هذا في القرآن, تسبح له السماوات السبع والأرض ومن فيهن وإن من شيء إلا يسبح بحمده ولكن لا تفقهون تسبيحهم. أوصيكم بسبحان الله وبحمده. هذا هو اللفظ يا إخوة. I made a mistake there. سبحان الله وبحمده. سبحان الله وبحمده, فهي صلوات المخلوقات وبها ترزق المخلوقات. And this is how they receive the provision. This is how they get the rizq from Allah سبحانه وتعالى. فلا إله إلا الله وتسبيح الله وحمده. هذه وصية. Those are the two. وأنهاكم, stay away from two, عن الكبر والشرك. Stay away from shirk, which is the opposite of la ilaha illallah, and arrogance. One of the companions, قالوا يا رسول الله, he said, يا رسول الله, الشرك عرفناه. We know what shirk is. فما الكبر؟ Is it wearing nice, neat, beautiful clothes? Is it wearing nice, neat, beautiful pair of shoes? He said, no, not any of that. Al-kibru batarul haqqi wa ghamtu an-nas. Batarul haqq, that someone brings the truth to you. And because of the person, you reject that truth, even though you know it's the truth. Or something that, you know in your heart that this is the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ghamtu an-nas, that you despise and belittle other people, that you look down upon other people and you start admiring yourself. Jazakumullah khairan ya ikhwa. Inshallah, I understand all of you are young. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you a long life with iman ya rabbil alameen. But if you can convey this message to mama and baba, is that how they say it in Somali or mama and baba? Oya and abuya? Oya? You just convey it to your parents, okay? All right. جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والحمد لله رب العالمين.
جزاك الله خير شيخ. That was a beautiful speech.